It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. Still talking Penn State Pitt. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. We really only got through some of the surfacey areas there, Greg. I wanted to dig a little bit deeper. Also wanted to let you know, got a special announcement from GoPSURV.com. You know, they're offering a full range of RV setups ready for a full weekend of great tailgating up in State College. But now, available for every home game, there's going to be a special Keystone Sports RV. Included in that will be great products from 409 Barbecue Sauces, Tailgate Wine, Labatt Blue Beer, even a catered barbecue meal from the 409 Tailgate Club. Guys, don't miss this opportunity. You can go online to gopsurv.com. Reserve your Keystone Sports RV today. I'm going to see what I can do to get Greg stuffed in one of the overhead bins.
There you go.
That would be a special extra bonus for the Keystone Sports
RV. We could do the
RV
podcast from up there. It'd be perfect.
It can't be any worse, right? Yeah. Well, it can't be any worse than it is.
I mean, yeah, a rainy week and weekend like this. I'm just hoping there's no hurricane in State College on, you know, the hurricane. The Penn State hurricane already blew into Pittsburgh and blew out the Panthers. I just hope that the weather one doesn't blow into Happy Valley and ruin week three of college football.
Boy, you're getting real topical this week. I like it.
I know.
A lot of references. Hurricane blown in through Pittsburgh. I wanted to circle back. So we talked about Penn State, the inability to stop Pitt's running game. And this isn't the first time in three meetings. There have been pretty lengthy stretches in all three of the games in these series where Penn State has had a hard time doing that. 220, I think 220 was the final number.
It's around that, yeah.
So let's just call it 220. They tightened up in the second half. What was the difference first half versus second? Where do you attribute a subtle adjustment on Penn State's end versus Pitt just kind of losing itself, I guess,
in the second half? Yeah, James Franklin gave a really technical answer to that question after the game, talking about slipping and shoulder placement and all kinds of stuff that we don't need to get into here today. But to me, the biggest difference was Penn State, it's what it always is when their run game defense is not good. They get out of their lanes. They are blowing assignments. Running linebackers are not where they're supposed to be. And all of a sudden, you get guys running all over the place. Now, and the one thing I think that's troublesome is we've seen teams replicate Pitt's game plan of cut blocks at the line of scrimmage, of a lot of, as James Franklin said 2 years ago when Penn State lost out there, shifting and motion before the snap and yada, yada, yada. I think that, you know, obviously Penn State has seen Pitt do that, has seen opponents do it. App State did it last week, and they just haven't always had a good answer for it. And the other thing that they usually get beat on when that's the case is a quick throwing quarterback. And they were just fortunate to run into a quarterback in Kenny Pickett, who he might be decent at some point. He sure as heck isn't now. And that played a big role in this because at the end of the day, between the first half and the second half, the thing that changed most was that Penn State said, we're not dropping five guys in coverage. We are going to just send pressure up the middle into your backfield, and you can figure out how to deal with it. Pitt never did. The one thing I'll say was that was as aggressive as a play call as I think I've ever seen from Brenton Pry on the Pitt touchdown. They were in 3-2-6 front, and Pitt changed the play. It was 3rd and 10. Pitt was certainly going to pass. And then they probably saw that Penn State had 6 defensive backs on the field and said, what are we thinking here? Let's run it up the middle and see what happens. And it turns into a touchdown.
By the way, I don't think we really got into this. you talking about Kenny Pickett. There were some people, and I can't fault people for picking Pitt to win this game. I thought, and certainly in the first half, other than the opportunities that were squandered again and again and again, it looked like Pitt had a really good shot. And I think that's why, you know, a lot of us looking at we got our board of picks, a bunch of us picked Pitt to really hang close with Penn State.
Yeah, right?
Had it at 31-20.
Yep.
I had it at 33-28 just because
I don't think if they played for another 60 minutes, Pitt would score either 20 or 28 points.
I think that's fair to say based on the final 30 minutes. But anyway, hearing some people out there, so there were a few different examples. Number one, Desmond Howard on College Game Day picking Pitt to win.
Yeah, but he just does that out of trolling at this point.
I know. So that, and I think that's kind of what I'm getting at, is that I can't blame somebody for picking Pitt to win. They're at home. They clash stylistically, I think, and there were some areas where they're more experienced than Penn State and blah, 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 blah. That's fine. But Desmond Howard just has a clear axe to grind or bias or trolling, however you want to phrase it. He's got this big national platform, and every opportunity he gets to stick it to anybody who's not Michigan, he does it. It's unbelievable to pick Michigan to be in the college football playoff. I don't know. I've just on a personal level have never cared for his analysis very much, and I think that it's stuff like this is exactly why.
Yeah.
The other one, Dave Wannstedt. Clear by. I wouldn't expect Dave Wannstedt to say anything but positive things about Pitt and pick Pitt to win and all that. But to compare Kenny Pickett and Trace McSorley, this is finally the point that I'm getting to. To compare Kenny Pickett and Trace McSorley is just the absurd of the absurd. They're excited about him. A lot of people are. You know, there's theoretically a real run pass dynamic to him. I don't know whether Pitt's offense or their wide receivers or their scheme to get guys open is all bad. I'm not good enough on the film to be able to look at Penn State beating them and determine that. But I put it to rest. Kenny Pickett versus Trace McSorley was a huge lopsided thing, and I don't know who wouldn't have said that going in. I understand, you know, the kid who's made four starts or whatever, you're excited about him, but let's not get it twisted here. Kenny Pickett probably won't ever be Trace McSorley. And if he is going to be Trace McSorley, you know, he's going to have to make more than five career starts before he can stake that claim.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the biggest thing, honestly, is that when Trace McSorley came into the Tax Slayer Bowl back in 2016 against Georgia, you could tell, even though things didn't go Penn State's way, that he had a little bit of the it factor, if you will. I did not see it with Kenny Pickett. And now, look, the game plan could be the reason for that. You know, Pitt could have had a game plan that more or less, put Pickett, up to creek in a way, because they didn't let him throw downfield, and they didn't let him showcase his arm, and they didn't let him do the kind of creative things that Trace McSorley has license to do.
But part of that plays into Pickett's strengths, which when he's able to elude pressure and step up into the pocket whenever there's lanes, which often in the first half there were, those are prime opportunities to push the ball down the field and make a big play on a broken play.
Right.
And they didn't even try. Again, I don't know if that's him or that's Pitt's coaching staff or where the responsibility lies, but there was just no threat at all with his arm.
No, and that's why I think in the second half Penn State just said, all right, fine, if that's what you want to do, if you're just going to run the ball up the middle, no problem, we will happily just come after you with 8 and 9 guys. And that's pretty much what happened. And then all of a sudden, you know, Pitt couldn't do much on offense. They got backed up, they gave up a safety, yada yada yada, and it pretty much just played itself out from there, and it was never a game after halftime.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking Penn State Pitt one more time. Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 is going to join us to talk some more Penn State Pitt in just a few moments. And by the way, whether you're going to Happy Valley for a football game or you're having a cookout at home, Shotzi's Jumbo Brats, they belong on your grill. These awesome brats are made with the finest ingredients using old-fashioned German recipes and supersized. Love it. Supersized to meet the hungriest tailgaters' needs. You can't forget the jalapeno relish either. It goes perfect with the brats. You can find them online, shotzisbrats.com, or you can visit them at the GoPSU RV lot for every Penn State home game. I wanted to touch on a couple more things. We're running out of time. What is going on with Penn State's wide receivers? Let me just ask you that. KJ Hamler is the only consistent player in that group. I would probably put Brandon Polk next in line. Haven't seen enough from Juwan Johnson. DeAndre Tompkins, I don't know what's worse, being invisible against App State or dropping, I think, 3 balls against Pitt.
Yeah.
What's happening with these guys?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you ask James Franklin, he's probably going to say, well, actually, he said last week that, well, this going into the Pittsburgh game, this should be a game where DeAndre and Juwan should have, and some other guys should have opportunities, because everyone's going to focus on KJ, and that's how their offense is built, that whoever the defense is focusing on, then the offense will go to a guy that is not being focused on, which of course means he's probably going to be open. But Dustin, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if KJ Hamler, number one, is a spark plug, and there's no way around it. I mean, we heard he was going to be really good, and he has been absolutely outstanding. But it is troubling that two guys that were supposed to be kind of the ringleaders, if you will, of the effort among the wide receivers, they just have not produced. You know, you can say Juwan Johnson has 8 catches for 90 yards. He had, another 4 or 5 catches, I think, against Pittsburgh, and that's fine and well, but he just hasn't looked like the first round NFL talent that he, you know, we thought he was going to be going into the season. So I don't know what to make of him at this point. Obviously, the talent's there. So we'll see. But Tompkins is a bit troubling. I just don't know what's going on with him. I will say that obviously the punt return touchdown sort of takes away from the drops and all that, but he just hasn't looked himself out there. It's been interesting. And you know, like you said, I mean, Johnson has 8 receptions, but by far, I think Penn State's 2 best receivers have been Hamler and Polk.
And Hamler, another big game for him, 40 yards receiving, touchdown, a 32-yard rushing touchdown. I think clearly through 2 games, the team's best playmaker. He had that the return where he hurtled and kind of got stuck in midair, right, which is awesome. I think people who missed Saquon Barkley, that was just a little blast from the past. So clearly he's a spark, and I think the thing that bothers people, DeAndre Tompkins, Brandon Polk is doing a better job at what DeAndre Tompkins does, which is just, you know, be that smooth route runner. You're never going to be a jumbo player. You're kind of you're relying on your savviness to get the job done. Polk's doing a better job with that. And Juwan Johnson, I just haven't seen anything different from him this year than we did last year. And I think that was one of the keys for Penn State, was for him to emerge and do something a little bit different and stretch the field a little bit more. Get some big plays. Don't just be that guy who's targeted 8 to 10 yards away from the line of scrimmage. Had a big third down catch. We'll see. Nothing's over yet. I suspect you're going to start to see one or both of these guys turn the corner.
Real quick, just to stay on the offense, Where do you fall on John Holland? Because he's had some really nice plays down the field. He's also had some times that he's been invisible, but that, of course, is measuring him to the Mike Gesicki stick that I don't think is fair. But I don't think he's been all that bad, even if he's maybe been a little bit hidden at times.
I think Penn State is going to be fine if they keep getting exactly what they're getting from John Holland. I think
and Dalton too, because he's done this. He's done right. Some similar things. Yeah,
I think they're trying to work in Freiermuth and Dalton to give them a little bit of a receiving threat. Holland's fine, and if he's fine, I think that's fine. Just to circle back, we mentioned in the Saquon Barkley versus Miles Sanders thing, I think Miles Sanders, 16 carries, 118 yards. I think he's more – the physical part of the game comes more naturally to him than it did Saquon.
Yeah.
And that was one of the knocks on Saquon coming out of school, is that – but I think – you know, Saquon was better positioned to lower his shoulder and run a guy over. Miles Sanders is more willing to do that. I think he's been every bit as good as advertised. I think there's going to be a big breakout day officially and on a big stage coming his way, because I think he's a big time runner.
Agreed with that. He's going to have a first 100 yard game against Pitt. One final thing, Dustin, keep Will Fries at right tackle. No more platoon. It worked out great. It will moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's a good point too. All right. We got more on coming up. Penn State Pitt, Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 and joins us in just a moment.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you, so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Whether you're going to Happy Valley for a football game or having a cookout at home, Shotzi's Jumbo Brats belong on your grill. These awesome brats are made with the finest ingredients using an old-fashioned German recipe and supersized to meet the hungriest tailgaters' needs. Shotzi's Jumbo Brats and football. It just doesn't get any better than that. Get yours at shotzisbrats.com. That's S-C-H-A-T-Z-I-S brats.com.